Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Good day, friends. This is D.A. Bennett with St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, ready to do this week's podcast as we start an exciting time of the year as we are, most of us anyway, counting down the days toward Christmas and what that means in the church. Here at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, we are very excited every year to celebrate the birth of the Savior. This year at our church, we've done a few new things to decorate the outside because we want the world to know our Savior is born. We're celebrating that, and it's an exciting and beautiful and joyful time. So with me today is my good friend, Stephanie Greenwald. Stephanie, I haven't even looked, but I'm sure you're wearing outstanding shoes
always
today.
Yep, boots today.
All right.
Leather boots. It's always
How are
a good
you?
Thing.
Are you
I'm
good?
Doing really well, yes.
Awesome.
I'm just doing great. I am enjoying this moving into the holiday season. There's something really magical about it, and I just love that.
So, off script, quick question. I know all our listeners want to know the answer
yes.
to this question. So, we hear all the time in the church, you know, are you offended if you go to a store and they say happy holidays?
Oh.
So, yeah, you're shaking your head. No, that does not. I mean, that to me, that is such kind of a foreign thing because I remembered
yes.
when I was growing up, if I read a card or anything and it was happy holidays, I'm thinking, well, yeah, that starts at Thanksgiving because
yeah.
that's a holiday.
Right.
And then Christmas and the New
Year's. St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. somehow or another. It just got to the place where people thought Christmas, you have to say
Merry Christmas. Christmas. Right.
And I just, you know,
as long as they don't say bah humbug, I'm good with it.
Well, never thought of it
know,
like
right?
that.
Exactly.
That's a good thing.
You know, that's so funny you asked that question. I don't want to offend anybody by my answer, but I think it's fine to say happy holidays and Merry Christmas
sure.
and all of those good things.
I agree. So do you put your tree up before Thanksgiving?
You know, not this year.
Oh, so you're doing yours past?
Very sad about. I have put my tree up as early as the first week of November in times
wow.
past because I love Christmas.
Okay.
I love Christmas almost as much as I love shoes. And I love twinkle lights. Like,
yeah.
I would have twinkle lights everywhere because, again, there's something magical about it. And because, and this is my preacher answer, but because I love the whole light in the darkness thing.
I really do.
I love it.
That is such a great thing. We don't put our tree up before Christmas. We've even had some Christmases where we didn't put up a tree.
Right, I get it.
But that has more to do with the pace of lifestyle
right.
with children than anything
yes.
else. But this year, we've been cleaning stuff, getting rid of furniture,
yes.
moving stuff around, and I saw this space. We sold a table.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And I'm like,
now
hey,
you have room. Yeah.
That's where we put our tree. We
yes.
should get a head start this year. So
That's a great idea.
My inner Ebenezer Scrooge, I think,
right.
is being transformed by the ghost of
it's
Christmas
being
future
squashed good.
Or something. So
that's a good thing.
Well, all right. Okay. I'll get lost. We'll chat.
Oh,
people don't want to listen to that.
I know. Right?
Friends, today we're going to begin a series to help us count down the weeks till Christmas, and you might think it would be strange if I had actually started off today by saying Happy New Year. Want to wish everybody a Happy New
right.
Year because New Year's Day is 7 days after Christmas.
Right.
But in the church, Christians in a lot of different churches, not all churches, celebrate what's called the liturgical
mm-hmm.
year. And the liturgical year goes from the celebration of the birth of Jesus till the end of the kingdom tide,
yes.
it used to be called. Now it's just called ordinary time.
Mm-hmm.
But the liturgical year starts with the four Sundays before Christmas. And
right.
so this season that we call Advent, which actually ends on Christmas Eve,
mm-hmm.
is the start of the
mm-hmm.
Christmas year. Now, if you're new to the word Advent and you want to know what that means, one definition, it means to reach for or to come. And so during this season, we often read prophecies from the Old Testament that point to the one who
mm-hmm.
is to come, the hope of Israel. In other words, prophets foretold about the coming of the Messiah. And so Advent prepares us as we remember and celebrate the birth of our Savior. But it's not simply that we remember Jesus was born. Right. The idea of Advent is we also remember that Jesus is coming back again. So that's an important part of our preparation. Stephanie, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I love this idea that in Advent we tend to look at the prophecies of Jesus fulfilled. In fact, this past year, some of our listeners may have been a part of our online Bible study or our on-site class that we did both of those for the prophecies of Jesus fulfilled, which is part of our discipleship pathway because it's really important for us to see the hope that the Jews had for a promised Messiah, a coming king, and to see how those prophecies were fulfilled. But the interesting thing is, as we look forward in our church history to the future, which just sounds strange.
That sounds
our church
strange,
history to the future. But what I mean by that
is history is moving somewhere.
It is.
Yeah,
it's going
it's
somewhere.
Got a direction.
Exactly. And so as we look towards the future, really Advent was designed for people to anticipate the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so a lot of times we get lost. We lose that idea because we think Advent is to prepare our hearts for the birth of Jesus, which already happened. And so we don't often talk about the fact that Jesus is coming again, and Scripture is just as clear about that as it was about the first coming of Jesus.
And, you know, I think culturally and even in church culture, sometimes we're so in tune to how we're living today and what affects us today, we don't necessarily have that future orientation. But when we read the Old Testament, we see how the people of God were not just beaten down by their sin, but they were taken away into exile, and they lived away.
Yeah.
And their prayer was, Lord, take us home, and they get to go home, and then they're under the rule of the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And they're just thinking, when's this one going to come deliver us? When's this one going to come deliver us? And I know in a lot of churches, sometimes we lose that, but it's really the thought, Lord, when are you going?
Yeah.
I mean, we pray this every Sunday, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And sometimes we kind of lose that urgency. I think there's a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah.
But as we celebrate Advent, there's a lot of things we do around the church to help us prepare for that. Some of the kind of symbolic things are, you know, we're going to use garlands and trees, the whole evergreen thing that reminds us of how even when the whole earth is lying dormant, there are some things that continue to thrive and flourish, at least in North America. That's how we understand it. The altar cloth, the colors are purple, which was the color of royalty, because we are awaiting the coming of our king. But one tradition that many hold dear is the lighting of the candles of an Advent wreath. And so what we want to do in this podcast series as we prepare for the celebration of the birth of the Savior is we're going to look at the four themes of Advent that are represented in those Advent candles. And the first one of those candles that we will light is the candle of hope. So why don't you share with us a little bit about what you think of when you think of hope?
Sure. Well, one thing I have to just interject before I talk about that. I know we're just way going off script today. But one of the things I love about the Advent wreath is that my family grew up as the Advent wreath being a very important part of our Advent season at home. And, of course, we lit the Advent wreath at church every Sunday. But Mom and Dad had an Advent wreath that we had around the dining room table. And so every morning, we would always sit down to eat breakfast together as a family. I still remember having raisin bran every morning. Yes.
It's purple. It's liturgical.
It is, it's very liturgical. Exactly. That's exactly right. And so we would sit around, and every morning we would light the candles, and we would talk about what each candle meant. And the thing that I find fascinating about this is that still to this day, when I smell the smoke of a candle, like when a candle's blown out and extinguished and that type of smell, that puts me right back at Christmas.
Right.
Which is so interesting because every morning we would snuff out the candle and I would smell that. So leading up to Christmas, you know how strong your nasal cavity is with your memory locking in. And so I love that. And so the Advent wreath has always really meant a lot to me because of the emphasis that we put on that growing up. And hope was always really a big, probably even my favorite candle. Some people would say joy because joy is the pink one and it's a little different. But I always loved hope because it was this idea that that this, what we're in right now, is not all there is.
Right.
And I think sometimes we have to remember that at any time of year because sometimes we get stuck in our circumstances or the things around us that maybe they're going well, maybe they're not going well, but sometimes we just feel stagnant. And so the idea of hope is that we look towards the future and that something good is in store, because that really, it's whatever the object is of our hope that keeps pulling us forward. And I love that idea that the hope will be fulfilled.
You know, I really appreciate that, and the Advent wreath that you do that in your home. One of the things that Robin does in her Sunday school class that she teaches is they, for the first and second graders, they make an Advent log.
Yes.
And that was kind of born out of a trying to bring good out of a bad experience. Oklahoma City had a big ice storm, and it damaged all these trees at her dad's house. And when they cut them down, she thought, well, we could just take a bunch of these logs and do something for Advent. And for a number of years, first and second graders at St. Andrews have been able to make their Advent log to take home. Ours, I think I heard the other day that we have three of them at our house, which makes sense because we have three children.
Right.
But we put that on our table, and we also like that.
Love
we don't
that.
Do it every day.
Uh-huh.
But I love hope. I love the idea of hope. I actually kind of wondered, how would we talk about that? How would we define that? Because when we talk about hope, we use it in different ways.
Right.
For example, you know, if you ask a little kid, do you hope you get ice cream after dinner tonight?
Right.
The answer is going to be yes.
Right.
And certainly that is something they hope for.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are other things, you know, that it seems to water down. And so I don't want to water down the idea of hope.
Right.
I read one definition that hope is seen, and I love this, hope is seen as the expectation of God.
And
that's what we're talking about during this season of Advent. We are expecting God to come back. It's one time a year, you know, 1 month out of 12, four Sundays out of 52, sometimes 53, depending on the calendar, where we are really looking and saying, whatever else we're doing in the church, whatever else we're trying to do to help people come to faith in Christ, you need to know we are expecting Jesus to come back. We're expecting, we're celebrating that he came once, but we are expecting him to come back. And and the first time it caught everybody off guard, and he came as a little baby, and people didn't recognize that.
Yeah.
But scripture gives us this different idea that our hope is he's not coming back as a little baby that's hard to recognize, and only maybe a select group of people that read these prophecies, you know, expected it. We published this throughout the world. Jesus is coming back. We don't know when, but we know it's going to be pretty dramatic, and he's not coming as a baby. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so hope is this expectation of God. And I would say that sometimes hope is also the avoidance of evil.
Uh-huh.
And let me explain what I mean by that. If you were to ask most people, in your life, do you want blessing? Do you want, you know, good things to happen to you, I think they would say, wow, I sure hope so.
Right.
You know, do you hope for a good job? I sure hope so. Do you hope to fall in love and get married someday? I hope so. That hope is a positive thing.
Yeah.
But we'll also look at something like watching our favorite team play, and if someone were to say, will your favorite team lose this big game this week? It's like, I hope not.
Hope not,
you
right.
You know, we're trying to avoid that kind of evil. And so I think hope is a critical part of our lives, but it's also a critical part of our faith. So if someone were to ask you, why is hope so critical to your faith? Why is hope so critical for Christians to have?
Yeah.
What would you suggest?
I think that's such a good question. You know, hope is something that we can lose easily. And so if you have the option of keeping it or losing it, then I would say, well, why is it important to keep it? It's because it often keeps what is most important in front of us. And so as I hope for our coming Savior, it reminds me of my salvation. It reminds me of what Jesus has already done for me, and the fact that he's going to fulfill every promise that he has made, and that his coming will be the fulfillment of my hope, shows me again how much he loves me. And I think that holding on to that hope then is really like an anchor. I know you're going to talk about this here in a few minutes, but like the psalmist says, I believe it's the psalmist or the proverb writer. I can't remember who said this, but that hope is an anchor for our soul.
Yeah.
And it keeps us from floating adrift out into the sea of craziness. But I think it's important that we keep it. I remember as a young girl, I was probably first grade. And I found the Sears catalog. Oh. Anybody that sort of dates me.
Wow,
yeah.
I was going to say you're much older than I thought
you were. Right, exactly. So we had the Sears catalog, and it was Christmas time. And my parents would say to the three of us kids, go through here, and if there's anything that you want, mark it, and we'll have time to order it.
Right.
Okay. So I held on to that Sears catalog. Like, it was my book of choice for the Advent season. And I found one item that I just wanted so badly, and it was this set of twin baby dolls.
Uh-huh.
One was a boy and one was a girl, and they had the hair and the matching outfits. And I would, every night when we would go to pick my sister up at work, where she worked at Sears, I would ride along in the car with my mom, and I would look at that, I would circle it, I would draw on the picture, and I would dream about having these twin baby dolls. And at home in my room, I had this nightstand that belonged to my grandmother. And my mom made me these little stockings that I put on the nightstand for the baby dolls.
Yes, yeah, I see where that was
yeah
going.
Exactly. In this hopeful expectation that I would get this present. But I remember, you know, when you're 7 years old, like a month seems like 3 million years.
Right.
And so as we're working on this throughout December, and I'm trying to hold on to the hope of getting these baby dolls, I sort of lost hope at the end.
Uh-huh.
Like, think, because I never saw a package come. I never had
any
hints.
You were watching the mail.
Yes, exactly. And so I remember that feeling of sort of the joy that I would have as I was hoping for them and looking
right.
at the catalog, and the joy that it brought me just to imagine and dream and hope for those baby dolls. And then the feeling of kind of this bleh feeling of, I don't know that this is really going to happen. And you sort of lose the excitement about it. And then Christmas Day comes.
Uh-huh.
And you open the package, and everything you hoped for was right there.
I was going to say, listeners want to know, did you get the baby
yes.
dolls?
And I am telling you what, for the next year, I loved on those baby dolls.
Like, yeah.
They were my prized possession. But I think there's this thing of God instills in us hope, really, to keep us going.
One of the things that you said a while ago that I really like is you talked about how hope is always in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very important thing for us to understand, because hope is future
yes.
oriented. It's always about something that is to come. We
mm-hmm.
think about our faith a lot, and you know, we can think about faith in the past
mm-hmm.
and remembering the past and how God's faithfulness and power mm-hmm. have been made known to us in the past. That gives us energy
yeah.
sometime.
Yeah.
There's actually an old hymn that tries to connect the two. I'm sure you know it. Oh God, our help in
yes.
ages past,
our hope for years to come.
Yes. Future hope is always there. And sometimes when bad things happen,
mm-hmm.
we need something to hope for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just about hoping we get good things, but
yeah.
when bad things happen, hope can kind of hold us together. I mean, if I injure my leg, you know, break
mm-hmm.
my leg, blow an ACL,
yes.
which is probably not going to happen because I'm not going
to
put myself in that, you know,
right.
place.
I hope not.
But,
did you catch that?
But if I injure my leg, I hope it's going to get better either
mm-hmm.
by wearing a cast or a brace
mm-hmm.
or having surgery. I think back, you know, 6 years ago when a tornado ripped through our area
uh-huh.
and just all the devastation. And if you were to ask people, you know, what's going to get you back on your feet? What's going to keep you going?
Yeah.
It was like, you know, hey, we have hope we're going to recover. We
right.
you know that everything that's lost is going to come
right.
back. I actually have a scripture that I read not too long ago, and it kind of jumped off the page at me, and I had to go back and look it up whenever we were saying, hey, this is what we're going to do with this series.
Yeah.
And it comes out of the book of Romans, and Paul is talking about how Abraham had faith and how Abraham believed God because God said, Abraham, don't worry,
uh-huh.
you're going to have a son.
Yes.
And just years and years and years went by.
And nothing
happened.
Nothing.
I mean, if,
right.
if you think Christmas is a long time when you
yeah.
want baby dolls,
yes.
you know, when you want a real baby,
you're
you
right.
know, that can
a
be a long,
long wait. Yep.
And in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, I love this translation. It said, even when there was no reason
mm-hmm.
to hope,
mm-hmm.
Abraham kept on hoping.
I love that.
Yeah.
And we don't always have to have reason for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes that it gets blah. It's
uh-huh.
like, you know, sometimes I'm sure people of faith can get cynical and say, we've been saying Jesus is going to come back my whole life, and it hadn't happened yet.
Right.
Keep on hoping.
Right.
Keep on hoping.
Even when all reason is gone.
Because it's not just about what we hope for, but, you know, that object of our hope. And Jesus is the object of our hope in a Christian life.
Yes.
We say when we confess that our hope is in Jesus, we admit something better is coming, that Jesus is the one who's going to turn things around. I mean, a lot of times we can look at things in this world and we'll say, oh, this world's just a hopeless situation.
Right.
Keep on hoping, but hope in Jesus. He's the one that can turn this around. And again, I know that's not something we always stop and think about it, so let me explain it for listeners like this. If we were playing a big basketball game, you know, championship game, and my team is down by one, winning and losing is going to come down to that last second shot, you don't want D.A. Bennett to take that shot.
Or Stephanie Greenwald.
You know, you want a superstar. Michael Jordan's about my age. Maybe you don't want him to take the shot. But, you know, a LeBron James, a Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, you know, we want a superstar to take that shot because we know they can make it. And that's what our hope is. So, you know, when people think about the future of things, when we think about you know, what's going to happen in the world and what's going to happen in my life, what do you put your hope in? I mean, do we look at our country sometimes and we put all our hope in the president of the United States, or do we put our hope in if we can just get a new president of the United States that we're hoping the government will take care of us? And it's like, no. Read Isaiah when he was talking about this Messiah. He said, for the government will rest upon his shoulders, meaning it's going to rest on the Messiah. It's going to rest on Jesus. You know, what do you expect in life? Do you expect more money is going to make your life better? Do you expect to, you know, have a better job? That may work here, but what about eternal life? How's that stuff gonna get you through? And so sorry, I'm getting a little preachy, getting
it.
A little fired up there,
awesome.
Because it's just so important to our lives, to our relationship with Christ, to our faith, to our witness of how we share with other people, that we have hope. This is not all there is. We have hope. So a while ago you started to kind of get into sometimes we lose hope, comment on that. What happens when we lose hope?
Well, you know, when we lose hope, I think it often acts like, you know, the anchor has lost its grounding. And I remember being on a boat years ago, and a sailboat, and watching the anchor be let down, and the feeling of the boat finally being grounded, you know, in the sand there, in a good way, because we had just come off of a terrible trip where it felt like we were adrift out to sea.
Is this the one you preached on?
Oh, yes. And I, you know, thought that I was going to meet my maker at the bottom of the ocean in that trip. And so glad that I didn't see him face-to-face that day. Although,
yeah, if we believed in reincarnation, I'm sure you would have been a mermaid.
Right, exactly. So I know that feeling of like, okay, now we're stabilized. I think when we lose hope, we tend to feel unstabilized, which I think is what a lot of people in our world are struggling with today, is that they've lost hope. And I think, you know, we in the church say, which what you said so perfectly a minute ago, is that our hope is in Jesus. I think a lot of our friends don't know what that looks like.
Right.
It's easy to say, but it's hard to live. And so I remember when my mom was going through really difficult health scare about, how long ago was that now? That was probably 15 years ago. And we thought that she had lung cancer. In fact, everyone was telling us, yes, the doctors were saying, we're pretty sure, we're 99% sure it's looking like lung cancer, which was crazy because no history of that in our family. She didn't smoke. It just came out of the blue. And so tests were... We were needing to run tests to decide if that's what this was. And every test we'd go to get the test done, and the machine would be broken, or the doctor couldn't be there because he was sick. I mean, just time after time after time, we couldn't get the tests, and it was crazy. And so she had this elongated period where she was not sure, you know, if she had it or not. And so she talked about many sleepless nights. I ended up giving her this picture of Jesus and a lamb. It was a sketch of Jesus and holding a lamb. And so that was kind of her anchor at night when she couldn't sleep, and she would hold that picture and she would look at it. And God kept giving her the words to the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Yeah.
And so over and over she would just be singing. Every time she'd wake up in the night, it would be Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And so when you are facing a situation where you feel like He's not providing all you need, because you don't know if you have all you need, and yet you're supposed to hope in His faithfulness, she ended up opening the hymnal to really look at the lyrics to that song so they could really soak into her being. And what she noticed was God kind of directed her eyes to the very bottom, the small print of the page. If anybody's looked at a hymnal, they know it's like microscopic print at the bottom that tells you who wrote the lyrics, what year it was written, who it was published by. And she was caught off guard by the fact that it was Hope Publishing that published the hymn. And then as she looked across the page, it was written the year that she was born.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was as though God was saying, I am faithful. You may not see the end of the story yet, but you can hope in me because what is the object of your hope is true.
Right. Even when there was no reason to hope, she
Keep
was running out
hoping.
And God spoke to her. And I think that's a critical part of it is, I mean, let's face it. Let's be honest. You and I both know people and have dealt with people who have passion for Jesus, who love Jesus, but then something devastating faces them, and it's like, are they losing hope? And to me, that can be one of the saddest situations someone finds themselves in, is they begin to lose hope. I really like the whole idea of the anchoring of the soul. Yeah. I think hope, it stabilizes our life. When life is unstable, hope is a thing that can help to balance us. And when we lose hope, what happens is it's like a boat that's been, you know, the ropes are cut and it can now drift and it goes wherever because it's not got that anchor to stabilize it. And so we do need something, or specifically during Advent, we remember we need someone that's always going to keep us grounded, that's always going to keep us connected, that is going to be that mooring rope for a ship that, you know, so that we can't drift away. And hope provides that for us. You know, just again, as we think about Advent, this doesn't sound like mistletoe and Christmas trees and all those other things, but this is the difference between really Advent and Christmas is Advent in the church reminds us, we light that candle. We have hope. And as long as we have that hope, we continue to long for the Savior who we believe is going to come. So one of the things that I just wonder is if someone would be listening today that they just need a word of encouragement to give them some hope. Is there a word that you have, a word that comes to mind?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad you said that, because the Lord was stirring in my heart something for that. You know, when we talk about the how of making Jesus the object of our hope, you know, if you're in that place today where you really feel hopeless and you kind of feel adrift in the sea of crazy life, here's what I would encourage you. You have to proclaim the truth about who God is.
Yes.
And when I say proclaim it, I'm not saying you need to go be a preacher and stand in the pulpit. What I'm saying is you need to proclaim it in your own life. You need to remind yourself of the truth about who God is. And the way that you do that is that you read about who He is. Mm-hmm. And He's given us the written word to help us understand who He is. So if you haven't opened your Bible in a while, I would really encourage you, open the book of John. Open the book of Luke. Luke tells us the Christmas story, so you even get to hear that part at the beginning. John, throughout the entire gospel, tells us of how Jesus is the light of the world and how He's the fulfillment of the promise of the coming Messiah. And so I would encourage you, open your Bible and read and let it soak into your soul. And then don't be afraid of prayer. I've talked to so many people lately who have been in the church forever, and they're afraid to pray. And it breaks my heart because it's the most natural form of communication we have because God created us to be in communion with Him. So it's natural. It's not something we need to worry about or fear. But you make Jesus the object of your hope by proclaiming the truth of who He is, by getting to know Him, because He's alive right now in your life. He wants to be at work. He wants to live through you. And so don't be afraid to talk to the living God.
Right. And for people who, you know, maybe you've been in the church and you've stepped away and you think, gosh, I just can't go back, because everybody will say, oh, they just came back because they needed something from God. Mm-mm. That's the whole reason we start.
That's the reason we're here. Yep.
We start because we need something from God, and we continue to come because we do learn, as you said, who God is, that He is the one who is the hope of those who are hopeless. And an old hymn of the church, you know, and this is just something I testify. My hope in my life, for my family, for my kids, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus. And so, friends, I would also encourage you that if you're needing an injection of hope, find a church that goes and celebrates Advent. Remember the holiness of this season. We would love to see you at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. Our worship services are 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50. If you're in South Oklahoma City, we are at 2727 Southwest 119th. If you are away from Oklahoma City, we're so glad that you would listen to us. And if you want to join us for worship, our 8:15 and our 10:50 services, that is Central Standard Time. You can find those on Facebook Live or YouTube Live. We honestly believe one of the things that helps us give us hope sometimes when we're struggling along is to have that fellowship with other believers that can help to encourage us. And that's our vision as a church, is that we would be a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith that is centered in the relationship with the one we have our hope in. Mm-hmm. So I pray that this is a blessing for you today. Stephanie, so good to be in studio with you again.
Good to be with you,
too. And we will continue next week with the second of the candles. So God bless everybody. I hope we see you soon. We're so grateful that you joined us for today's podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. We're located at 2727 Southwest 119th Street in Oklahoma City. So if you live in South Oklahoma City, Moore, Norman, Newcastle, Blanchard, Tuttle, Mustang, any of the surrounding communities, we would love to have you join us for worship. Service times are 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50. We hope to see you soon.